तमेव मृत्युमृतं तात दैवम् सर्वात्मनोपेहि जगत्परायणम् यस्मै बलिं विश्वसृजो हरन्ति गावो यथा वै न सिदामयन्त्रिताः तम् unto him eva certainly mrityum death amritam immortality tata my dear son daivam the supreme sarva atmana in all respects upehi surrender jagat of the world parayanam Ultimate God. Yasmai. Unto whom? Balim. Offerings. Vishwasrujaha. All the demigods like Brahma. Haranti. Bear. Gavaha. Bulls. Yadha. As. Why? Without fail. Nasi. In the nose. Dama. Bayaro. Yantritaha, control. Translation. My dear boy Dhruva, please surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate goal of the progress of the world. Everyone, including the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, is working under his control. Just as a bull prompted by a rope in its nose is controlled by its owner. Purport by His Saving Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The material disease is to declare independence from the Supreme Controller. Factually, our material existence begins when we forget the Supreme Controller and wish to lord it over material nature. Everyone in this material world is trying his best to become the Supreme Controller individually, nationally, socially and in many other ways. Dhruva Maharaj was advised to stop fighting by his grandfather, who was concerned that Dhruva was adhering to a personal ambition to fight to annihilate the whole race of Yakshas. In this verse, therefore, Swayambhuva Manu seeks to eradicate the last tinge of false ambition in Dhruva by explaining the position of the Supreme Controller. The word mrityum amritam, death and immortality, are significant. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, I am ultimate death who takes away everything from the demons. The demons' business is to continually struggle for existence as lord over material nature. The demons repeatedly meet death after death and create a network of involvement in the material world. The Lord is death for the demons. But for devotees, he is Amrita, eternal life. Devotees who render continuous service to the Lord have already attained immortality. For whatever they are doing in this life, they will continue to do in the next. They will simply change their material bodies for spiritual bodies. Unlike the demons, they no longer have to change material bodies. The Lord, therefore, is simultaneously death and immortality. He is death for demons and immortality for devotees. He is the ultimate goal of everyone because he is the cause of all causes. Dhruva Maharaj was advised to surrender unto him in all respects, without keeping any personal ambition. One may put forward the argument, why are the demigods worshipped? The answer is given here, that demigods are worshipped by less intelligent men. The demigods themselves accept sacrifices for the ultimate satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः
శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణారఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం. శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణాలలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. భూదైర్మహాధ్వర్య ఇమా పురో విభూ నిర్మాయ శేతే యదమూష పూరుష భుంక్తే గుణాన్ షోడశ షోడశాత్మక సోలంకృషీష్ట భగవాన్ వచాంసి మే. హరే కృష్ణ. దిస్ వర్స్ హ్యాస్ లాట్ ఆఫ్ సిగ్నిఫికెన్స్ ఫర్ మీ టుడే బికాస్ ఐ వాస్ నాట్ ఇంటెంట్ టు గివ్ భాగవతం. I was just dancing in the kirtan and I was perspiring, and at the end when the kirtan finished I was asked to give, and I tried to give away this. I asked Prabhupada, can you please give? He said no, you should give because I had to cook for crossways. So here I am. As it is mentioned in this verse, everyone is controlled by the supreme controller Krishna, just like a bull prompted by a rope in its nose. The reality is that we don't have any independence. We want to think that we are independent, we are making our own decisions, in that way we can control and we can enjoy. However, reality is something else. Similar conversation we can see in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam as well, because when I read this verse, that was the verse first came to my mind. The conversation between Lord Brahma to Priyavrata, again in presence of Swayambhuva Manu. He also makes exactly the same point, that we cannot act independently. Here, Dhruva Maharaj is a pure devotee. He has seen the Supreme Lord face to face. It's the perfection of life. As Srila Prabhupada says, you do devotional service purely so that one day you can see Krishna face to face. Dhruva Maharaj had already attained such an exalted position by seeing Prishnigarbha face to face. However, apparently he is inflicted by some lower modes, just like Arjuna. We can see this pastime as instructive, just like the case of Battle of Kurukshetra, where Arjuna himself feels completely disqualified to fight, and he finds it is so hard to obey the order of the Supreme Lord. Rather, he wanted to fulfill his own ambition. Then the Lord speaks Bhagavad Gita for the benefit of Arjuna and all of us. It's the divine will the Battle of Kurukshetra took place. Even at the end of Battle of Kurukshetra, Yudhishthira Maharaj becomes completely morose. Why did I cause killing of So many people, thousands and thousands, millions upon millions of people were annihilated in the battle of Kurukshetra, and he was completely devastated as a Dharmaraj. And then the Lord himself couldn't pacify Yudhishthira Maharaj. The Lord Krishna told him, this is the will of the Lord, it is the will of, it's my will. But Yudhishthira Maharaj was not convinced, and at the end the Lord has to take Yudhishthira to Bhishma Dev, and Bhishma gives the advices in front of everyone to Yudhishthira, and then he gets convinced. So this is to glorify the devotee. The Lord wanted to glorify his own devotee, that what the Lord cannot do, a surrendered devotee can do. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches the same principle. He tells Lord Nityananda, look at the people who I have delivered. They are elite people. They are on the high ranks of the society. They are leaders of the society. For example, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He is a big scholar. He is Brihaspati himself. And he was the guru and caretaker, philosophically, of all Mayavadi sannyasis. Look at Prakashananda Saraswati. He was also a great scholar, and he was the shelter for other sannyasis. Look at even Keshav Kashmiri, Digvijay Pandit. They were great scholars. But look at you, Nityananda. You are delivering the most fallen people. The Lord is demonstrating the power of his own servants. Nityananda Prabhu, he is so merciful that he can go to any extent to deliver the message of Lord Chaitanya. He is happy even to go house to house, door to door, and preach to everyone. That's why it is mentioned, Nadia Godrume Nityananda Mahajan Padiyache Namahata Jivera Karan. Nityananda Prabhu has opened a Namahata where in Nadia Godrum. Why has he opened this Namahata? To freely distribute the love of Godhead. However, it's free product, but there is one price. And what is that price? Shraddhavan janahe, shraddhavan janahe. The price is, one need to have a little bit of faith. One can be the most fallen person. One can have all bad qualities. Still, Lord Nityananda is ready to deliver such people by giving the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And he demonstrated that by giving that mercy to Jagai and Mathai. The most fallen people were delivered by Nityananda because he prompted that mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So here we can see the Lord can glorify his own devotees. And so the Lord glorifies Haridas Thakur. He tells Haridas Thakur that you are the perfect example of a devotee because you preach perfectly and you act perfectly. Some can be big preachers, some can give big talks, but when it comes to their sadhana, they struggle. Some may do sadhana very well, but they don't want to preach. So Lord Chaitanya tells Haridas Thakur, you are a perfect example of both. First, chanting, who can chant more than Haridas Thakur? 192 rounds. And who has he preached to? He has preached to Goswamis. You know, he preached even to Maya Devi. He preached to Chintamani. And he even preached to Raghunath Das Goswami. When Raghunath Das Goswami was a young boy, he got the association of Haridas Thakur. So see the kind of devotees Haridas Thakur has made. So this is the power of the devotees, and the Lord wanted to demonstrate. So here, coming back to the point, the qualification of such surrendered devotees is that they don't want to act independently. They don't want to act for their own ambition. Rather, they want to simply fulfill the desire of the Lord. And this can be very difficult. Arjuna had to go through a turmoil to obey the order of the Lord. How much he had to listen. He had to hear the entire Bhagavad Gita. Then he started acting properly. The entire Bhagavad Gita. It means everything, all the subject matters of all 18 chapters practically he had to hear. Then he acted properly. Here Dhruva Maharaj, he is indiscriminately started killing all the yakshas. Now, to align himself to the instructions of the Lord, Swayambhu Manu had to personally appear and then instruct Dhruva Maharaj. His grandfather had to come personally and instruct him that ultimately we are not independent, rather we need to follow the orders of the Supreme Lord. And who is that Supreme Lord? I'll just elaborate on that point, reading the verse from 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Priyavrata also wanted to do his ambitious task of realizing the Supreme Lord by his brahmacharya vow and worshipping the Lord in Gandhamadhana mountains. So here these two cantos are well connected because here it is talking about Uttanapad, and after Uttanapad, who becomes a king? Dhruva Maharaj. He is acting as a king. He is revenging for his brother's death, and then Dhruva's son will rule over the world, and in that way it will go up to Prachetas, and ultimately the descendants of Manu will, none will be left over to rule the world, because ultimately Daksha will be there as the descendant of Manu. In this line we can see Daksha becomes a descendant, but Daksha, who is that Daksha? That Daksha is the Daksha who got a goat's body in Daksha Yagya. We have read already, we have gone through that, right? So in that, the beginning of this canto. So the same Daksha, he gives up his own life in this canto, in this, the fourth canto. He gives up his own life because he was the most beautiful person. He was the handsome person. He was so effulgent that when he arrived in the whole assembly, everyone was completely enamored seeing the effulgence of Daksha, and everyone got up except his father, Lord Brahma. So he was so powerful. And now he has got a god's head. Think about that. Not even a human's head. So he couldn't maintain his status quo. So he committed suicide. And later, after a few manantaras later, around 5 manantaras later, Daksha came back. Because the whole period, he took birth, and then he immediately left, realizing that I don't have enough power which I had in my previous birth. So he goes for austerities to worship the Supreme Lord, again not with the right motive, to get material power. And at that point, in the earth, there was no one to rule over. Then Swayambhu Manu, he was concerned. Who is left? So there was one person left in his dynasty, and that was Uttanapad's brother Priyavrata. So Priyavrata, the beginning itself, he was completely detached, so he didn't want to take up any responsibilities. So he accepted brahmacharya and he started worshipping the Lord in Gandhamadhana mountains. Under whose instruction? Any guesses? Narada Muni, the main preacher of Srimad Bhagavatam. Everywhere we can see Narada Muni preaching. Here also, who instructed Dhruva Maharaj? Narada Muni. The same Narada Muni instructed Priyavrata, you practice brahmacharya, you worship the Lord. So he started doing meditation, and here Swayambhu Manu is in anxiety. So Swayambhu Manu thought, how can I go in between Priyavrata and his guru, Narada Muni, because his guru has instructed him to follow brahmacharya. And at the same time, I need someone to rule this world. And there is no one. There is no qualified person. There is no descendant in my dynasty. That point, Swayambhuvanu approached Lord Brahma, requested Lord Brahma, can you please interfere in this matter? Because you are even the guru of Narada Muni. So you have the right to interfere in the situation and you can speak. See the Vedic culture. In Vedic culture, it's not that anyone instructs anyone else. Generally our tendency is if somebody does anything, everyone want to be a guru. Whereas in Vedic culture, that's our Vaishnava culture, we see our position. We instruct according to our position. So then there is a system. Who can instruct whom? Okay, one can tell, and there is a system we follow. If you have to instruct somebody superior, it is better that we tell somebody who is also superior and they instruct. So there is a system. At the same time, instruction is very important, but there is a system to follow so that there is no offense and things are run very smoothly. So to the Gandhamadana mountains, Swayambhuvanu goes, Narada Muni goes, and Lord Brahma in his swan carrier appears with all his demigod associates. And he starts instructing Priyavrata. He tells, he's very intelligent. Brahma, his body is made of intelligence. So he presents many arguments. And one of the beginning arguments is that ultimately you shouldn't be envious of me. You shouldn't be envious of me. Because being envious of me is being envious of the Supreme Lord. So whatever Lord Brahma is going to instruct is ultimately coming from the Supreme Lord. Then he narrates this particular verse from the 5th canto, chapter 1, 14th verse. I will read the translation. My dear boy, so here Lord Brahma is telling Priyavrata, my dear boy, all of us are bound by the Vedic injunctions to the divisions of Varnashram according to our qualities and work. These divisions are difficult to avoid because they are scientifically arranged. We must therefore carry out our duties of Varnashram Dharma like bulls obliged to move according to the direction of a driver pulling on ropes knotted to the noses. See, it's exactly the same point. So he again brings back to the same point that, okay, we need to follow the Supreme Lord. And that is the meaning of surrender. Then the question comes to our plate. What does surrender mean to us? So here, what is surrender? Yes, we can hear from Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman paritijya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva pavebhyo moksha ikshyami mashucha. So we may wonder, how can you apply this surrender unto Krishna, that to exclusive surrender unto Krishna? It makes it very simple, because we are coming in a disciplic succession. So here, surrender becomes very straightforward. We don't need to really think too much, what does it mean by surrender? Why? Because the realized spiritual masters, like Srila Prabhupada, has already instructed what to do. Also, we can take guidance from our own spiritual masters and our own authorities. And they make it clear what do we have to do to purify ourselves. So surrender means understand what are the instructions of the spiritual master. What do they want us to do in our life? And if we have any confusion, what to do? Ask them. If you have confusion what to do in our life to please the spiritual master, what do we have to do? Just ask them. Go to them, approach them and ask them, what do we have to do to please you? Then, understanding our situation, our skills or our difficulties, what kind of false ego we are dealing with, they will give instructions to humble us and to purify us. So it is very simple in that respect. However, following those instructions may not be very simple. Because we had to fight against our ego. We had to fight against our own mind, which doesn't want to do anything. Right? Most of the time mind will tell, you know, just go back, eat enough and sleep enough. I haven't had enough rest. That's what mind tells us. We have so many other important things in our life. If we don't do that, our life is going to be miserable. This is what mind is going to preach to us. However, we cannot listen to our mind. We need to listen to the order of the spiritual master. If we align ourselves to the order of the spiritual master, it may be difficult, but we can see that we become purified. It's just a matter of time. Whether we are successful in the attempt or we are failure in the attempt, it doesn't matter. Our heart becomes purified. Srila Prabhupada, what he did, he gave a supreme example for that. He got the instruction in his 20s and close to 70, he fulfilled those instructions. And that's why the Leelamrita, the initial volume, is titled as A Lifetime of Preparation. A lifetime of preparation to fulfill the order of the spiritual master. And then he executed that order. He had to go through so many difficulties. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj told, if you preach in English to the English speaking people, then it will be the most beneficial for them and for you. This is the instruction of the spiritual master. And when he fulfilled, as we can see, it is the perfection of everyone's life. So this is the meaning of surrender. So as we can see here, Dhruva Maharaj, he is going to fulfill the order of his spiritual master, ultimately, Swayambhu Manu. And he will return to the kingdom, he will rule over the kingdom, and when the time comes, he will retire. And then the Lord personally sends his Pushpaka Viman, his chariot, and the Viman, the plane, the airplane comes. And then, with Nanda and Sunanda, and you know, he actually goes to Dhruvapata, he goes to the Dhruva planet. Even before, his mother also returns to the spiritual abode. So this is the mercy of the Lord when one follows the order of the Lord. Same with, we can see Priyavrata. Priyavrata comes back, he rules over the world, he gets married, he begots children. However, when he reaches his middle age, whatever, a few years later, he realizes, what have I done? I have to leave this world. And he actually goes back to Gandhamadana mountain. He continues his spiritual life and then he goes back home, back to Godhead. So everyone has to align oneself to order of the spiritual master, order of the authorities. And then our heart will get purified. And this is a life experience. This everyone has to go through. This is not exclusive to Dhruva Maharaj. It's not exclusive to Priyavrata. It's not exclusive to Srila Prabhupada. It's not exclusive to our own gurus. But it is for everyone has to go through and everyone has to realize step by step gradually. So that is the message here given. Then, who is that Supreme Lord? The Supreme Lord has two aspects. Even when the Lord came in front of Dhruva Maharaj, what had in his hands? Do you know, Hayagriva? The Lord had what had in his hands? How many hands the Lord had? For what had he, what was he carrying?
Conch shell.
And disc.
Gada.
Gada.
And lotus flower.
Exactly, very good. Shankha, chakra, gada, padma. So Prishnagarbha came with Shankha, chakra, gada, and Padma. And two are meant for devotees and two are meant for demons. What are for devotees? Shankha is meant for devotees. How did he use? How did Prishnagarbha use Shankha? How? Exactly. He touched Dhruva Maharaj. Then immediately he was able to offer all beautiful prayers to the Supreme Lord. So Shankha and Padma for the devotees and chakra and gada for demons. Ready to kill, vanquish all the demons. That is mentioned in this purport. That the Lord is both death and immortality. He is both death. He is mrityu and he is amritam. That's why the verse is starting. Tameva mrityum amritam tada devam. Tameva mrityum amritam tada devam. He is both Mrityu and he is Amrita. He is both nectar and he is death. And for devotees he is nectar, and for demons he is, sorry, for devotees he is nectar and for demons he is death. That's why Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a cat and a kitten and cat and a mouse. So the question is, do you want to be mouse or do you want to be kitten? So for demons who, or the materialistic people who wants to deny the Supreme Lord, what happens? Initially they say, we are independent, I don't accept the Lord. They can tell everything. But when difficulties come, they shake. And ultimately, when the death comes in front of them, what happens? Then nothing is left. They can see the death personified in front of them. Kala Sarpa. So this Kala, the time of death, that Kala is compared to Sarpa. What is Sarpa? Sarpa means the snake. The devouring snake. The snake in front of a demon. So it is very scary. So Krishna has the same potency. He can be the Sarpa or he can be the Amrita. So it is our choice. The Lord gives us the choice. How do we want the Lord? It's very interesting when Krishna, after killing Chanura and Mushtika, he went into the arena. So he actually killed Kuvalayapit and he went into the arena of Kamsa. You know, it is just like a big stadium. In the big stadium like MCG, probably bigger than MCG. Okay? And there are so many people situated, including one side, the relatives of Kamsa, and on the other side, there are many Brajabasis and Krishna's cowherd boyfriends and local residents of Madhura. As he entered, all the people, they perceived Krishna differently. So here, two things are mentioned. One is nectar and one is immortality. Two kinds of rasas, which are contradictory, but both simultaneously exist in Krishna without contradiction. So that is the nature of the Lord. So it's mentioned, Mallana Mashini Dranam Naravaro Strinam Smaro Murtiman. When Krishna entered the wrestling arena, Krishna was just like a lightning thunderbolt for Mallanam, for the wrestlers, Chanura, Mushtika, all the wrestlers. They couldn't see the beautiful form of Krishna. Even though Krishna was same Shyamsundar, he had peacock feather, he had beautiful turban, he had yellow dhoti, he had deep blue dark complexion which was shining. Still, the mallas, the wrestlers, they saw Krishna as thunderbolt hitting on their head. Malanam Ashini Nrinam Naravaro. So Nrinam means the men, they saw him as Naravara. Naravara means the best of men. We haven't seen anyone as handsome as Krishna. So it is mentioned, they had the Adbhuta Rasa. Adbhuta, the wonder. It's a secondary rasa. It's called Adbhuta Rasa. So they manifested Adbhuta Rasa. Strinam Smaro Murtiman. Strinam means the ladies. They saw Krishna as Smaro Murtiman. Smara means the Cupid. Smaro Murtiman, Cupid personified. So they, Krishna, with conjugal love. They saw, we have seen many men, but none as beautiful as Krishna. So, Nam Naravaro, Strinam, Smaro Murtiman. Whereas for the cowherd boys, Gopanam Swajana, for Gopas, they saw Krishna, Swajana, he's our mate, he's our person. So they had friendly relationship with Krishna. So they said, they were cheering for Krishna. They didn't see anything else. They were just simply cheering for Krishna. Krishna is going to fight. Krishna is going to kill. Because they had no fear about Krishna. And they were not at all concerned about Krishna. Because they have seen many fights already. In Vrindavan, Krishna has gone without any weapon. And he was killed so many demons. As Prabhupada says, sometimes before lunch, Krishna kills 2-3 demons. And then he has lunch with his cowherd boys. So some of the demons are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. But Krishna has killed so many demons. The lists are coming at all different unique ways. Krishna has killed. So for gopas, they are not really afraid. They are carefree. They are so carefree that they even went inside the mouth of Akasur. Why did they went inside the mouth of Akasur? Even though they understood it looks like a big snake and they could even smell the burning meat. There was bad odor. Still they went inside. They thought, anyway, Krishna is there. We'll have some fun. Then why did Krishna enter into Akasur? He didn't have to actually. Krishna could kill anyone just by his will. But it is mentioned, Vatsalyam Avishkritam, that is, immediately he had parental affection generated in his heart for his devotees. Then he thought, how can I leave my friends alone? I must enter personally. Then he entered, then he killed Akasur. So this cowherd boy, they had enough experience of Krishna killing so many demons, so they were not afraid. So for them, it's just another match, another cheering opportunity. Gopanam sajano asatam kshitipucham shasta. Asatam kshitipucham. Asatam means the wicked kings. So many wicked kings were there because they were supporting Kamsa. Asatam kshitipucham shasta. Shasta means the punisher. They saw him, all the kings, all the wicked kings, they saw Krishna as the punisher. And then, so putro shishu, so putro shishu. Yes, so pitro shishu. Pitro means the parents. The parents saw Krishna as shishu, as a child. They are not at all concerned about the power of Krishna. They don't know about the power of Krishna. They don't know that Krishna has killed many people. They have seen Krishna personally lifting Govardhan. But because of their Vatsalya Prem, because of their parental affection, they could see Krishna only as a child, as a shishu. Shishu means a kid, a baby, practically speaking. So because of the influence of Vatsalya Ras, the parents of Krishna, they saw Krishna as just a baby. And they felt karuna. Karuna means compassion. How unfair this game is. How unfair this wrestling match is, where Krishna is such a baby and these wrestlers and Kamsa, they are so big. How can they even fight with Krishna? So they had so much of compassion for Krishna. That's why even all the ladies of Madhura, they start criticizing their plight to see such a wrestling match. It is so unfortunate that these residents of Madhura are hosting such an unfair match between this powerful demon and Krishna. And they started mentioning the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan, they are so fortunate that they don't have to go through such an ordeal. They are simply drinking the sweetness of Krishna. Gopyattabakim acharan yadamushyarupam lavanyasaram asamordham ananyasiddham. They says, usually the Upanishads, they glorify Krishna as asamordhva. As asamordhva means nobody is equal to Krishna and nobody is superior to Krishna. Seeing the power and potency of the Lord. However, the gopis takes a different stand. They say, asamortham ananya siddham. Why? Lavanya saram asamortham ananya siddham. There is nobody is equal to or greater than Krishna's loveliness, Krishna's sweetness. So they don't talk about his aishwarya, rather they talk about his madhurya. So they drikbhi pibanti anusavabhinavam durapam. And these gopis, they are drinking the beauty and sweetness of Krishna with their eyes. So the residents of Madhura, they started thinking, look at our plight. There Krishna is performing so sweet pastimes. Here we are bringing Krishna here and Krishna is going to be crushed.
by these demons. So that's why they felt karuna. So they felt so pitro shishu. Then how about kamsa? That is mentioned here in this purport. Mrityu bhojapate. For bhojapati, that is kamsa. For kamsa, what was Krishna? Death personified. He was so much dedicated in thinking of Krishna as death that when he actually saw Krishna, he could only see death. Mrityu bhojapate virad avidusham. And the fools, avidusham, those who are unintelligent in the assembly, they saw him like a stone or virad, dull matter. Virad avidusham tatvam param yoginam. And whereas the yogis, the meditating yogis, even they couldn't appreciate the sweetness of Krishna. It's the same Krishna. They couldn't appreciate. What did they see? Tattvam param yoginam. They could see as a super soul or Brahman. Tattvam param. But who could see Krishna as he is? Vrishninam paradevateti vidito rangangada sagraja. Only Vrishnis, they could see paradevateti. Because Vrishnis, they could see him as paradevata. Not really in sweetness. As paradevata means, one meaning of Vrishni is the Yadavas. Another meaning of Vrishni is the residents of Vrindavan. Both can be addressed as Vrishnis. So, the Yadavas, they say him as paradevata, as the worshipable Lord. Whereas, the residents of Vrindavan, they saw him as sweet Krishna. So this is, that's called saprema bhakti. The rasa they had is prema bhakti. So the Krishna can manifest all different kinds of rasas. The same person, he can manifest all different kinds of rasas. So it is not at all difficult for him to manifest. Just as death and amritam, mrityu and amritam. They are simply his features. How we approach him, he can reciprocate. Ye dhamam prabhadyante, tam tatheva bhajamyaham. That is up to him. He can do in whichever way we want. And for us, for the devotees, how we have to approach Krishna? We have to approach Krishna with bhakti. It is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam that everyone is actually worshipping Krishna, including the demons. Then the question arises, how are they worshipping Krishna? How the demons are worshipping Krishna? Demons are worshipping Krishna, not directly, but indirectly in the form of Maya. They are serving Maya. So if we worship Krishna, we become happy. If we serve Krishna through Maya, we become miserable. So that is the only difference. So everyone has to serve Krishna in terms of Krishna's energies. And we are left with no choice. That is the reason Bhagavad Gita says, Matta smriti jnanam apohanam cha. What does that mean? Matta, from me, smriti, remembrance, jnanam, knowledge, apohanam, forgetfulness. If we want to remember Krishna, we need the mercy of Krishna. If we want knowledge, we need the mercy of Krishna. If we want to even forget Krishna, we need the mercy of Krishna. So dependent are we. Do we have any choice? We don't have any choice. If we want to forget Krishna, we need the mercy of Krishna. I heard a story of a brahmachari in India many years back. He was serving dedicatedly and he was doing well, but after some time all the material desires came back to his mind and he started thinking, I really don't want to do this activity. I don't mind these activities, but I had to perform all these sinful activities, which I know they are not good. But with his conscious mind, he couldn't go out. How can he, how can we really do it? So even if I want to do sinful activities, I will remember this. So I cannot really enjoy. It's actually a very important point. I'll explain this point first. Then I'll continue with the story. As devotees, if we ever taste Krishna's mercy, and if we really practice Krishna consciousness, even if we get out and if we try to enjoy materially, we will not be able to enjoy the way we want. Krishna is expert in spoiling our material enjoyment. So even if we want to, if we think, if we want to,
still we cannot really do it. Krishna will remind us, we don't have any choice. This is a Bhagavatam first canto. This is mentioned in the fifth chapter. A very interesting verse. Rasagrahajana. Such devotees are described as rasagrahajana, one who has tasted rasa. Then one cannot do anything. Vikhadam ichena rasagrahajana. They cannot do anything. So this is the mercy of the Lord. So okay, this person started thinking what to do. So he went, finally he concluded and he asked the Lord, can you please make me forget what I have done? Can you please make me forget you? So he was very sincere. So the Lord reciprocated in a very strange way. How did he reciprocate? He was cleaning some fan or something. So somebody turned on the fan. Head hit the fan, the ceiling fan. Okay. And it was quite hard. And after that hit, he forgot about devotional service. And he just went out. You know, he started doing all his material activities and he just did like any normal person would do. And time went on. And one day, I think he was sitting on the bank of Krishna River, I think. He was sitting there. Suddenly, he saw a monkey coming in front of him. Monkey paying obeisance to the river. And he took bath and he went away. When he saw that, all the memory came back to his mind. He started realizing, oh, I was a devotee, I used to do everything. And what am I doing? I am doing all this nonsense. Then he got back to devotional service. So this is mercy of the Lord. Another story, very interesting, is from Hong Kong. Bhurijan Prabhu told us. Jagtarini Mataji preached to one Indian businessman very strongly. And in a short time, Mataji made him chant 16 rounds and follow regulative principles. So the preaching was very powerful. He was quite committed in a very short time to do this. And he committed to Krishna consciousness. And after some time, he asked, I really don't want to do this, but you know, I cannot just go away. How can I do this? How can I get out from this? Then he got the answer. Answer was, he has to pray to the Lord. Indeed, he prayed to the Lord and he got out. After that, there is no news. We don't know any news. So either today or tomorrow, he will also get the mercy of the Lord. Krishna will make some arrangement that they can continue from they have left over. So the Lord's hands are there everywhere. We cannot escape. And as devotees, we can see this more and more. That is life of a devotee. So the life of a devotee is to realize the Lord's hand. So proportionately, we are in touch with the Lord, and proportionately, otherwise, we are in touch with Maya. That is the definition of Maya. In second canto we can read, everything is connected to Krishna, and if we see anything separate from Krishna, that is called Maya or illusion. So even Maya is in connection with Krishna. Even illusion is in connection with Krishna. So if anyone sees anything separate, that is called illusion. So our life is to see Krishna's hand as we go on in our life, day to day, moment to moment, life of, you know, birth after birth. So we have to see Krishna's hand. And as is mentioned here, for such devotees, if we can see Krishna's hand and if we are surrendered to instructions of the Lord, then one doesn't have to go through birth after birth in material bodies. Rather, one can get a spiritual body. That is the conclusion. So Prabhupada is emphasizing surrender unto the Lord and going back to Godhead. And finally, one point is mentioned. Why to worship demigods? So there is no point worshipping the demigods, because worshipping demigods cannot give us anything. If you bring to modern context, if you start worshipping rock stars, are we going to get anything? Not really. One can worship, one will not get anything. Similarly, in the Vedic times, they had more real rock stars. They were demigods because they had real material powers. Even if you worship them, still one cannot go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada gives an analogy of trying to cross the ocean by holding on to tail of a dog. One cannot. And I'm going to, the dog knows how, dogs knows what? Dog paddling. Dog knows how to swim. So I'm going to cross the ocean by holding on to the tail of a dog. Is it going to work? No. Similarly, those who do not have capacity to deliver us, there is no point worshipping them. So ultimately one has to worship the Supreme Lord. That is the point here mentioned. Okay, thank you very much. Any questions? Yes. So the question is, it's a good deal if you pray to Krishna for material enjoyment, and then after some time Krishna is going to give us remembrance and material enjoyment is also done. After that, what happened? We can continue on bhakti also. Some people ask, you know, it's really a good deal. Now we can enjoy, and at the time of death, we can have Krishna consciousness and we can go back home, back to Godhead. Okay. The answer is this pastime. Answer to your question is this pastime, Dhruva Maharaj's pastime. Why is it so? Dhruva Maharaj was blessed with everything. He was blessed with even material opulence. He saw the Supreme Lord, he got pure devotion service, and he got all material opulence. Still, what happened? He was lamenting. When he got the material benedictions, he was lamenting. What was the benediction? Benediction was very interesting. What Prishnagarbha gave as instruction, that blessing all the devotees, practically speaking, would love to get it. He said, till end of your life, you will have all material opulence and your body will have complete strength and you can enjoy materially as much as you want, and at the end, you can remember me and you can come to my abode. Devotees will tell, no, I really don't want to suffer in this world. Kindly make all the material arrangements proper. And then finally, you know, we will do some chanting, and at the end, after enjoying everything, then we'll become, after that we want to start good Krishna consciousness, and without suffering, we want to chant Krishna's name and go back to Godhead. This is the benediction Dhruva Maharaj already got. And after getting this instruction, Dhruva Maharaj is lamenting. So the prayers of Dhruva Maharaj is prayers of lamentation. He tells, Kacham vichinvan abhidiviratnam swamin kritarthosmi varannayache. I have asked for this broken pieces of glasses. Why did I ask? Why? Why Dhruva Maharaj came to that conclusion? Because if one actually sees or one realizes even a fraction of the glories of the Supreme Lord, then one develops distaste for material opulence. If one fraction of the Lord's mercy, if one gets, one develops distaste for material opulence. There is no comparison. You understand? There is no comparison. So Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord face to face. Then what can he, what's the use of material opulence? So point number one, if one goes and come back, still he has to lament very miserably. Why is it so? Still one has to go through one's own anarthas. Devotional service is not automatic. One has to chant and one has to deal with one's own material desires. That is point number one. Point number two, what is the guarantee that he or she will come back in the same lifetime? How about one suffers a million lifetimes? Millions of lifetimes. Even Prabhupada says, if one loses the opportunity, then one can take many, many lifetimes to get back this opportunity. So what is the guarantee that we will get the mercy in even next 10,000 years? Because next 10,000 years is golden period. So even if you don't get that, even within that time, then what will happen? Then in the peak Kali Yuga, we will be there waiting for Kalki. And all demons are trying to eat us. Now they are trying to eat cow and other animals. After some time, they are trying to eat devotees. Because devotees eating nice prasadam and you have a healthy body. The demons are looking at us, okay, I want to eat you. So we don't want to come to that condition. So rather, take the opportunity now. That's why Prabhupada is telling, back home, back to Godhead in the same lifetime. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj made the same point. My serious disciples should endeavor to go back home, back to Godhead in the same lifetime. So that is our philosophy. So in one terms, understanding the value of the Lord and the material opulence, how they compare, one lament, and one has to still deal with material desires. And third, what's the guarantee? When are we going to get the mercy? Mercy means it is Lord's free will. It is costless. So we cannot demand anything. So, wise to be, stay with the devotees. Okay, bro. That's a good deal, yeah.
Like you were mentioning in this class, like we're actually not independent, we're always dependent on the Lord. But sometimes in my mind, you can use it as an excuse, like, you know, you're acting in such a way, you're thinking in such a way, because you're Maya. You can't do anything about it. It's just, you know, you're just in Maya, you're completely dependent on Maya. Like, it seems like you can use it as an excuse.
Yeah. Okay. Sometimes they think that we are in Maya. I'll rephrase the question probably. We are in Maya, so I'm in Maya, so I don't have to do devotional service properly. Is that the kind of thing comes?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is another trick of Maya. People think, I am so fallen that I cannot chant. I am so fallen. Prabhu, I am so fallen that I cannot do any service. I am in Maya so that, you know, I am in Maya, so it's a good excuse. Why should I do service? I'm in Maya. Anyway, everyone knows that I'm in Maya, so why should I do service? It is your choice. Okay. We all, since we have knowledge and free will, there is Maya and Krishna. So it is whether you want to choose Maya or Krishna, it's your choice. It's not Maya is coming and telling, you know, no to do. It's Maya's duty to tell, you know, no to do, tell no to do, that's fine. But you don't have to listen. So it is your choice to who to listen to. Sometimes to our mind or to guru or the instruction, you know, there are so many. If you see instruction, there is no dearth of instruction, full of instructions given in the books. Otherwise, turn on Prabhupada's lectures or any guru's lectures. So many instructions. Only thing we had to do sometimes, just press the button. You know, the MP3 player in the phone is there, just press the button. Then the instructions come. Or take the book, start reading. Then the instructions come. So it is our choice. So Maya is not an excuse. But it's our, we don't want. That's the way. Mataji must share something.
Yeah. I think this question was more, we're not independent. I'm sorry, we're always dependent. Right? That was what you were saying, right? Mm. We're always dependent. Yeah. So right now, Maya's.
Yes.
So what can I do, right? But the point that we're forgetting is we're spirit soul.
Yeah.
Spirit soul creates our conditions around us by our choices.
Yes.
So the point is, the reason you're in Maya in the first place is because you chose
Yes.
Yeah.
So now we have choice. We had choice.
We had choice to get into it.
Exactly. Get out of it. So it's a choice. So it's your choice. What do you want to do? Okay. Any final question? Yes, Mother.
Just on the point of surrender, you said you don't need to really think because you have instructions of spirit. You must have authority.
Oh, okay.
This is a question again. I know it's been asked many times, but at the same time, you want to go to surrender to it.
Yeah.
For me to assert that in my God.
Yes, it's a very important question we hear time to time. That is, we may have some nature, and the current service may not be suiting our nature. And at the same time, we may be instructed to do such service which is against our nature. What to do? Initially, we just do whatever service comes to us, maybe against our nature. So one has to continue for some time in that way, so that whatever service comes, we just do it anyway. Because whatever service we do, it will actually purify us, and then we become very clear that what is our real nature. We think, currently we think according to our conditioned nature, how we have worked so far, we have a preconceived idea of our nature, which could be true to some degree. But when you engage in devotional service, what are your real skills, your abilities? that will come to the surface. So we have to wait. It could be what you were good at before, that could be your real nature, we don't know. But it is Krishna's choice. To give an example, when I hear lectures from many senior devotees, for example, I had, you know, Vyasaki Prabhu, I was hearing a lecture, and many other devotees, they are very senior devotees, they all started their Krishna consciousness as book distributors. You know, but at the same time, in their devotional career, they had nothing to do with Krishna, book distribution as such, straight away. He became a Kirtaniya. For example, opinion was expressed by Satyaraj Prabhu, who is a big author, he's an author. He started his Krishna consciousness as a book distributor. Then at one point he started thinking, the whole life, do I have to distribute books, which is not that I want to do. Then another path opened, he's a writer and he was an author. You know, similarly, our real nature will come to us and we will act on that. It's just a matter of time. That is going to happen anyway. And for the time being, we are getting purified. So, you know, it can take some time, but even from speaking from in both sides, even those who are engaging in the service also has to take care what's one's nature. After some years, one may act in a certain way according to the need, but after some time, one will have to act according to one's nature to please Krishna, and that becomes more and more clear. As we get older, it becomes more and more clear that how we, what service we can actually do to please Krishna. We are ready to serve anyway. The mentality should be at any point in life, we are ready to do any service, but now it is clear that which way one be more efficient to please Krishna. So one will focus on that kind of service, even though mentally one is ready. If required, we'll do anything for Krishna. So this is the mood that we need to develop. And a classic example to this is Jayapataka Maharaj, his holiness Jayapataka Maharaj. You know, he was so sick, and one time, maybe 1 or 2 years back, he wrote in an email to all the devotees, he wrote, I am ready to do any service to please Krishna. You know, that is a mood that we need to develop. But because we are conditioned, or even in the liberated state also, we have unique nature, we act in a certain way. So it is accepted.
Part of the answer is, I'll give an example. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Sukhi was telling Srila Prabhupada, and he told Srila Prabhupada, I don't want to permission all the time. Prabhupada said, just keep on doing, and you do. And now, I saw a movie, small movie, and the Prabhupada is taking rather very nice, very opulent, like Krishna is taking, and he just again and again.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll stop here, and I'll make one announcement. Today we are going for book distribution. If anyone wants to join us, please come to Crossways. We'll be there at 10:45. And if you don't know how to distribute books, we'll train you. So there is no excuse. Thank you very much. Gandhara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.